Well, last week we had the SARS retreat. This week we're going to have the STARS retreat. And it's intended as a kind of antidote, because I think the last material created a little fear. So because yogis should always be fearless and not taken in by Maya, it's important to understand the real beyond Maya. And we will approach that this evening with a medley of short clips about people who have gone through near-death experiences. And this is a very interesting field and phenomenon. And I remember when I was first practicing as a clinician, doing past life regressions and various other paranormal kinds of healing processes, that in the beginning it was a very unusual phenomenon. And I remember studying with Dr. Raymond Moody for some time, and he was pretty much the only one in the field for quite some time. And then it gradually began to mushroom with people like Kenneth Bring, who I also was able to interview and study with. And then gradually there were other experiencers like Danyon Brinkley, and then there was later on people like Anita Morjani, and then the neurosurgeon Eben Alexander. We'll see a short clip of his tonight. But now, when I just checked the internet, there are like thousands of near-death experience videos by people all over the world, and numerous channels that just are specializing in interviewing people who've had near-death experiences. And that includes, of course, many celebrities, and it includes people of all walks of life and all religions and all geographical locations, ages, etc. And in a sense, the testimonies of these people have become, I think, a replacement for the usual religious evangelizing. The testimonies are much more impacting, I think, much more real, because they are given by people who, for the most part, are amateurs, and they didn't intend to become spiritual teachers, although a good many of them afterwards have written books and made careers out of it. But I don't think that takes away from the validity of the experience. And although there are differences at, let's say, the imaginary register of the near-death experience, in the sense that Christians do tend to see Jesus, and Jews will tend to see either the Baal Shem Tov or Moses or some figure of Jewish persuasion, or directly angels and God. And Buddhists will often see Buddhists. And Hindus will see whichever of their gods, often. But there are also, of course, many cases where Jews will see Jesus, and and there will be cases where ex-Buddhists not only see Jesus, but they see Buddha in hell suffering for not having believed in the right God. So, you know, there are these varieties of differences. But when they get past that level of the experience, they are all wrapped in light and love and bliss. And they often, of course, in the classical case, they go through a life review, and they have to look at all of their sins and errors, theological and otherwise, especially if they were atheists, etc., and feel remorse, etc. But they are always forgiven, and God is always very loving. There are, of course, the cases where people have the NDE as a result of committing suicide or trying to commit suicide, and those people tend to go into a hell realm. But from all the cases I have seen, after they've suffered a bit in hell and they recognize what they needed to learn from that, some hand of light picks them up and takes them into heaven, and they get to experience the same light. And then they come back as true believers in whatever their religious form of expression that they related that experience to in their lives, and their lives change. And nearly everyone who goes through this experience is transformed and become much more spiritual, much more meditative, much more virtuous, compassionate, and helpful to others, to bring the message that there is nothing to fear, and that we are all protected and contained by a God of love and light. And no matter what happens on the earth plane, and no matter how bad it is, and no matter how bad you have been, your final destination will be the same beautiful, blissful light. Well, that's not different than the message that yogis have been teaching and that we have been teaching. The difference, I think, is that many of these beings come back, and although they are more virtuous and they speak of their experience and are still very moved, 20 years later by the recall of it, but they are still back in their ego. It's a better ego. It's a much higher grade ego than the one they had before. But for the most part, they are still in life, and very often they continue to struggle with various sanskaras that they might have had before, or even more trouble because nobody believed them, they lost all their friends, their wife divorced them, they end up in a situation where they can't keep their job anymore, they have different beliefs that will no longer enable them to do what they used to do, and they can be very lost. This is very often the case with those who had NDEs while they were in the armed forces, and then they have a very hard time being violent or militaristic, etc. But even working for corporations or doing things that are, let's say, that go against the lessons that they learned can make it very difficult for them to readapt. So it is it's an experience that has a great deal of ramifications of many kinds. But what's important to me is that there are so many thousands of these cases now that it is, in a way, creating a countervailing kind of vibrational frequency. On the one hand, you have everyone in paranoia and terror about COVID and vaccines and lockdowns and the collapse of civilization, etc., which is happening. And on the other hand, more and more people saying, no, there's nothing to fear. This is all illusion. We are all beings of light. And all of this will soon be over and transformed. Both of them are true. But usually the people on one side don't understand the message on the other side. So it's very important to integrate these the light and the dark, and to be able to see a whole picture of what is happening in the world. But I thought, because we haven't really, for a number of years, I don't think, talked about near-death experiences, I think it's good to return to looking at a few examples of people who are experiencers, and to hear what they have to say and how they say it. So I came up with a medley of several of these. I tried to find very short ones so that we could have show a number of different versions of the experience. But many of the longer experiences have a lot more depth in terms of detail of the actual let's say, phases of the inner journey that these people go through. And so we may at some point return and deal with one much longer version of this experience. But for now, I thought it would be good to give a taste of different varieties of near-death experience so that we can get a rounded picture, at least. But what's important is that many of these people who come back from the near-death experience then will say that they don't need to have another car crash or shoot themselves in the head to have that experience again. Once they have had it, they can meditate and return to that same state. That, to me, is the key takeaway from all of this, because you don't need to have nearly died in order to realize the presence of the light. The light is here. This is the light. It's not even that you have to go through some tunnel and then way at the end, light years out, you know, you find the light. For some, that they do go through such an experience. For others, however, they leave their body, let's say, on an operating table, and they go to the ceiling and see it, and then they realize they're dead or think they are, and they are immediately enveloped in the white light and taken up into the presence of God. No tunnel necessary, and no distance. And I think that's important for us to recognize. The other side, the dimension of the divine light, is not elsewhere. It's here. It's only your vibrational frequency that needs to shift in order for you to see it and for you to realize we are already always in the light and always liberated from Maya. All we have to do is stop believing in the ego, believing we are bodies, believing in the thoughts of the ego mind, and that blissful liberation shows up, and you can do it in an instant in meditation, as Wang Po has been saying, in a flash. So no need for violence in order to get there. Let's do it through a nonviolent killing of the ego, and not just a near death of the ego, but let's go all the way so we don't have to come back to it and continue to struggle. So I hope that these videos will be valuable to you and impacting in a positive way. Some of them do have some gruesome stories to tell as to how they reached that point of nearly being dead. But I tried to find ones that were relatively short and sanguine and not too awful. But one of them is a suicide situation. By the way, they do sometimes make mistakes. And especially in the Asian cases, I've noticed that, you know, there are two lords of death. There is Yama, or Yamraj, as some will call him, who will take you to the lower levels of the afterlife, where you more or less have to go through judgment. In fact, that seems to be always the case. And some punishment and some kind of reparation and learning through a situation of having to pay your dues. But then there are others who will meet Mahakal. Mahakal meaning the great death, the death of death, the death of the illusion of death. And they are taken immediately into the light and, you know, no court of law necessary. And they were virtuous enough to be able to experience immediately the liberated state. And for some, those variations don't happen. But in the Christian version, it is often either a hell or purgatory, and then the soul will be lifted up. Some beings will not have a religious figure per se, or at least not a conventionally known one, but very tall beings of light who will stand around them, seemingly judging, sometimes protecting, containing, healing. But there will be often a circle of beings, and then often it will just they will disappear or lead one to the ultimate. And for some, they will meet a Christ who will take them to God the Father. I think we have one of those on for tonight. And then the Father will have a direct connection with the soul. And this, of course, is the most transformative element of the experience, to know that you are known by God, the Absolute, the Highest, and that you are loved is the experience that most brings about transformation that lasts. So I hope all of us know that that is the case for all of us, and that we can accept that love without having to go through any ordeals of suffering in order to do so. So without further ado, we'll see the videos. I may stop some of them before they're over, you know, because sometimes the end they give a little commercial element to it that's not necessary.